Hello and welcome, fellow awesomeologists to Awesomeology. I'm Sue.
And I'm Ben. And in this episode, my co-author and I are going to try to come to an agreement on one pretty important point. What do we mean when we talk about purpose in the work we do? Bum, bum, bum.
I was looking
for a big sound effect there. Our producer missed the cue.
Missed the cue.
Yeah, where are you at?
It maybe is because he's not here and doesn't know you want that.
We'll fix it in post. Literally. That's when we will do that.
Could we just quick go back that part where you said co-author?
Oh, and talk about how cool
that feels. I wrote that word to make you say it, but it still feels cool to say.
You know, we haven't published anything yet, so we should maybe just say co-author nominee or...
I mean, if you're writing,
I suppose
you are authoring. It's just we're not published co-authors.
Got it. Okay. There we go.
So
I can get behind that.
And I would also make the argument that considering we work in a whole darn business together, which publishes a lot of content, that we are already co-authors.
Very valid. Yes.
So
100%.
Yeah. So I, maybe just for my personal, to keep me from being grumpy, as I disclosed to you when we came into this, I should just make you say that every so often.
Got it.
Be like, Thursday, time to say I'm your co-author.
I'll schedule the reminder right now.
Yeah. Would you please? And so, Ben, we agree on a lot of things, but we came to the realization, and this is no surprise to you, I hope, recently, that we're pretty far apart on an area of the book that we are working on. So we saved this discussion for our listeners. Normally, listening to Ben and Sue incessantly navel gaze about something is a privilege we reserve just for our team.
And such a treat, I'm sure they would say.
For everyone that gets to watch this. But I think we both have some really good points. I think it could be an interesting discussion to work through as far as, you know, one of the things that we talked about, at least had in our notes for last time, I don't listen to the podcast, but... At least in our notes previously, was this idea of how do we work together? Because we have worked in a parallel way so far.
Right.
So this is one of the ways we're going to have to learn to work together.
Right.
Come to the same understanding of things.
Yeah.
But as I said, I think having previewed that conversation a little bit, I think we both have good points. Mm-hmm. Well, I think you have good points. Obviously, I'm coming into it thinking I have good points.
I'm assuming you have good points. You'll always get the benefit of the doubt with me.
Thank you. I appreciate that as your co-author.
Right.
we're just not making the same point.
Right.
Which is pretty important.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll see how the end of this discussion looks or sounds. Maybe it's okay that we're not making the same point. We'll see.
As long as don't try to make them at the same time.
Right.
Two different points at the same time.
Got it. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. I'm open to it. I'm open to whatever happens here. So the topic at hand is this section of the book where we're that we're working on that deals with the purpose of the work you do. So I know how I'd approach it, and you already took what you say is a totally different approach. So how about you help us out by describing that?
I would love to. So looking, I cheated off your notes. I looked forward to your notes.
Oh, dang it.
And I know. So I know how you're planning to lay out what you're going to say. And we actually broke out all of the chapters thinking about this idea of why this thing matters first.
Mm-hmm.
So setting up that argument, quote unquote.
Yeah.
First for people, setting the table with that. And then moving on to now you know why you should do it. How do you do it?
Right.
So the way that I looked at this idea of the purpose of the work, first I have to say it out loud the right way. The purpose of the work you do is that in the context of what we're working on in this book of purpose, that we start as big picture as we can, and we get more granular and granular and granular until we come to the end, which to me, I immediately went to the most granular way that we do our work, which is the purpose of the specific things you are doing on any given day. So right down to the task level. Mm. Why? Not why are you doing your job, or why is your business in the business of what it's doing? But, you know, for us, why did you create that ad? What is the ad for? What is the blog post for? What's the reason behind that? What's the purpose of it? And through discovering the purpose of the thing you're doing, it becomes better. It becomes more targeted to the thing that you're trying to do. You find the way in to that thing. Hmm. And my thesis here is, in talking about why it matters, you discover the purpose, because that sort of that in the way that we are looking at purpose here, your purpose, your organization's purpose, purpose of the thing you're doing, that completes that cycle and brings you sort of the, if you have all of that in alignment, the highest odds of success. Mm-hmm. So if you understand why you are here, big picture, then you align yourself with an organization that supports what you're doing. Mm-hmm. If you are aligned with that organization, then the things that you do for that organization, right down to the daily task level, make the most sense to you. And they are, if you are in that sort of quote unquote perfect alignment, then I think it makes your job easier. I think it could bring you more joy, mm-hmm. which also makes your job easier.
Yeah.
Because you can approach it with a sense of wholeness, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when I wrote what I wrote already, it was all exploring, like starting with the idea that you have to, no matter what you are doing, it matters to us to understand why we're doing it. Mm-hmm. And we sort of work backwards. I think a lot of people do. I shouldn't generalize. I know you hate it when I do that. But I think many people work backwards. You are given, you know, you have to make money to pay. You make the money. You get the job to make the money to pay the rent.
Yeah.
And you start, I think a lot of us start in our career thinking that's the goal. And if I keep making more money, I get to stay in a nicer place and buy bigger things. I don't know.
Sure.
I don't know what everybody's motivation is, but I think you think that's an expectation. And for a lot of us, it's not until you're into your career that you start to make choices about, do I care about what I'm doing? Is the thing I'm doing, is it right? Is it moral? Is it ethical? Is it filling my cup? And hopefully you get to a point where if it's not, that you don't, you bounce, you dip, mm. and go and do something else. So getting everything in alignment, from the start could get people to that point in their career sooner. And again, being more joyful, doing better work, understanding, you know, especially I'm just going to keep talking.
You're doing great.
Especially when I think it applies to every job, but I can especially correlate it to marketing, because if you don't know why you are doing a task in marketing, you can't do it well. you know, you have to, it's not just knowing who the audience is. It's knowing why you're doing the specific thing you're doing to talk to the audience, mm-hmm. making the connection. And that's when you can have a real conversation with people. And that's when marketing can be successful. So that's my entire thesis.
Yeah. For the audience, Sue just read everything that she wrote. Yes. She wasn't even, that was not extemporaneous. She was literally just reading everything. I'm just kidding.
And it was on a scroll, which maybe we should talk about. I shouldn't be writing on scrolls.
There's these really cool things called computers. We need to
should get one about. Of those. What do you think?
Yeah. Okay, cool.
That was a lot.
So here's, well, here, I took a ton of notes as you were talking.
Look at that.
So as Sue said, when we kicked this conversation off, when we were kind of like touching base on our next phase of writing and what we were going to talk about in this episode, we like decided to like halt and kind of not go too far and use this recording as we've kind of intended all along to be that moment of discovery and exploration and all of that. So I'm very genuinely feeling like I'm processing everything that you just said. Also trying to, I'm stalling right now because I'm trying to decide, should I rebuttal with all of my stuff that I was thinking about on this topic? And what I think I'm going to do is kind of do that along with like debriefing everything that you said or talking about some things that you mentioned that I think do align with ideas with my idea or my outline of what this content might look like. And shoot, man, we'll go from there. I'll stop stalling and just dive in.
Okay. Are you ready to stop stalling?
I am.
Because now I'm stalling for you.
Okay.
Just in case.
You're doing great. Thank you.
Okay. Good.
I needed those extra 5 seconds. So, okay. So I kind of started by dividing this section of purpose in the work that you do out in a couple of sections. Why it matters, like why the work that you do matters, and then how you find the purpose in the work that you do. And so in under this topic of like why it matters, a few points that I had were personal fulfillment, right? So I think whatever level you're talking about, like the higher level purpose of your job as a role within an organization and that alignment with your personal values and the organization's values and stuff. If we're talking about that level or we're talking down to the granular, like you went, I think at the end of the day, we're on relatively the same page. Like people want to feel a sense of personal fulfillment in those things, their job as a whole, or that creating an ad using your example. The other or another point that I have under this idea of why it matters is, this building of or development of resilience or a sense of resilience in oneself or with your job, knowing, understanding, being more engaged with the purpose of what you do keeps you resilient and fighting for something, maybe fighting for why your idea is a good one, why your design is a good one, why the thing that you do. And again, I think this can apply to both day-to-day tasky or your role as a whole. If you're doing those things with an understanding of purpose, you can fight for what you're doing, which might be like advocating with a coworker about why you should continue to do a thing or why you should do it your way or, again, why your design's good or whatever. Maybe advocating with your partner at home or yourself at home if you don't have a partner that you should keep doing the work that you're doing. Stay in the role that you have. Because you're fighting for something, right? Like this sense of resilience. And then the last two that I have, which I think I can get to the point quicker, are knowing why you do your job is more fun than just doing your job. So again, I think if you understand the purpose at whatever level we're talking about here, everyone feels better doing something that they can that they feel is fun. Like if I can just make it sound as simple and friendly as possible. If you don't have to worry about the question of like, why am I even here? Why am I creating this ad? Or why do I have this job? The opportunity for fun, or to use your word, joy is there. And I do think that 100% agree with you. And I think this is something that we can dive in together as this stuff comes together is this idea of like the joy that comes in alignment, you know, alignment of the purpose of your day-to-day, your personal purpose, your organization's purpose. So like that's something that I think we need to dive into a bit more. Last thing in my first section of why it matters is how understanding this purpose of the work that you do can help with prioritization. So I think it helps you feel better about work. Mm-hmm. So kind of like two aspects here. One, it can help you feel better about work being a priority, which means maybe sacrificing other elements of your life, like family time or leisure time or whatever, you know, and maybe I'm just stating the obvious there, but I think if you feel really good about the purpose of the work that you do, it maybe brings a bit more peace when you have to make sacrifices outside of work, which we all have to do regardless of the position that you have or the level, executive level you have or whatever. Like everybody's sacrificing something, which at the very least might be an opportunity for a different job, you know. If you feel purpose in the work that you do, you're maybe looking past other opportunities because you feel good about the opportunity that you're in right now. Okay, I feel like I'm getting messy.
It's okay.
Let's pause for a second. How you feeling about everything that I said? Do you feel like we're still relatively far apart on this? Are we closer than we thought coming into the recording? Or
Okay. I think we are just, we're in the same building. We're just on a different levels of the building.
Sure. Maybe I'm on the escalator.
You might be. I'm kind of jealous because, you know, I love an escalator. But I think how do I say this? So intellectually, spiritually, this is one of those spaces where we need to make a differentiation. It is fine in our daily lives that if someone says the purpose of the work you do, you think your thing, I think my thing, and it's fine to go about your daily life that way. Where we now have to come together is making decisions on a unified way that we describe it all on paper. Mm-hmm. I don't disagree with you about the importance of the things that you're saying and how that fits into this project we're working on. And now it's a matter of where are the lines? You know, we have another whole section of organizational purpose we haven't even scratched the surface of.
Right.
So is the next job here that we have to start drawing delineation and figuring out, okay, yes, that's a valid point. That goes there really. So that's my thought there. One thing you said that I thought a lot about here's a place that we're actually in about perfect alignment. Thinking about knowing the power of knowing why you're doing your job, right? And how everybody wants to know why they're doing something.
Mm-hmm.
I think I agree with you. I do agree. But even as I was making a similar sort of point, as I was writing, there was a voice in the back of my head, literally rattling off a list of names of people I've encountered in my career that this little voice was saying, I don't think they cared what they did.
Mm-hmm.
I think they just did something so they could say they were doing something.
Yeah. Or just paying the bills or.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And I had to spend a little bit of soul searching and think, well, why do I think they were that way? You know, that's one of my favorite questions to ask is, Please explain to me.
Why are you the way you are?
Why are you who you are? No, why did this person who I can't ask now because they're gone and never see them again, why did they do that thing? But to really think about, was that, if I'm dealing with someone like that in my present day, which I'm not with anybody on our team, but if that came up now, what do we do about it?
Mm-hmm.
Because if I got that, I think it was fine. You know, when I think about when I mostly encountered those people, they were people that I worked with in retail, people that I worked with who were extremely temporary in frontline service.
Sure. Yeah.
At the credit union. And what you sort of saw was they didn't see the reason for doing anything, and then they just didn't last.
Yeah.
So is that chronic to them? Will they forever be that way? Or at the end of the day, does the fact that they didn't see the purpose, they couldn't connect with what they were supposed to be doing, and they didn't last, is that the exception that proves the rule of everybody wants to connect to what they're doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you think?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just
going to go ahead and hit stop.
I'm going to stop the recording right now because we're done and we've agreed.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, seriously, though, I I think that people that maybe haven't realized that yet they're on their way. Like, everybody's like perpetually on their way there.
Okay.
Like, whether they like it or not, you know, like this, you know, or they can recognize it themselves, mm-hmm. or not, you know, I mean, this example of a person that, you know, is maybe on the front line or working in retail that, doesn't care about what they're doing or all of that. I think that at the core of it, part of the reason is because they haven't thought enough or haven't haven't been offered the opportunity to pause and think about, mm-hmm. why they should care or
right.
why, what, 'cause every job, like, there is value in everything, mm-hmm. you know, it's maybe a matter of perception or the ability to like have the time, space, whatever it is that one might need to see that.
Right.
You know? And so, yeah, gosh, I don't know. I feel like I'm not doing a really great job of showing how much I agree with what you said, but I think it's just a part of, there's just so many factors that can contribute to why one might not be able to see, feel, perceive the value, the purpose of, mm-hmm. the work that they do. Environmental, culture, mental capacity. I don't know, you know?
Right.
And unfortunately, I think there's a lot of people that go through their whole lives with some combination of all of those things to never truly feel it or understand it or appreciate it, you know, mm-hmm. the purpose of the work that they do. And that's sad and heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But yeah. I also think like that, even though I'm not articulating all of this really well, I think just what I just said is giving me a bit of like reaffirmation or confirmation that like we need to push forward and like we need to write this thing. And like someone needs to read it.
Right.
And maybe they'll have wound up getting to where we would get them by them, you know, reading what we're going to share eventually. But I don't know, maybe we help someone get there a little faster and they do more with their time on the planet because of it, you know? And yeah. And that's cool. And I'm really confident that we'll have done that for someone.
Right. Me too. It's the thing that came to mind for me was another contributing factor to people not connecting is not someone not being there to mentor them, to lead them,
yeah,
to tell them, hey, I know you're just, you know, I was in shoe retail. Mm-hmm. I know you're just tucking the laces inside the shoes today, but, you know, do it and then step back and see the effect that has.
Yeah.
You know, and mm-hmm. understand that the connection is success.
Yeah.
So it feels meaningless and mindless and irritating maybe in the moment. But let's talk big picture.
Yeah.
And obviously it is hard when you're talking about 17, 18 year old, 19 year old kids.
Yeah. Brains still developing. Yeah.
Right. 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 Who, especially people who think, who go into something with this idea of the next thing, you know, the next thing is a place where I'll find my purpose. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is a stepping stone.
Yeah.
I think that is a common thing too. When we talk about many people's career trajectory, it's that you don't understand that every single thing you do, in work, at home, in life, can inform your success and can be a learning experience.
Yeah.
Even if that's not what you're going to do.
Right.
When you have your big boy job.
Yeah. So I just have to say before I forget this, two things that I made notes of that directly relate to what we've just been talking about. So the second section of my outline for this was, how do you find it? How do you find purpose in the work that you do? And one bullet that I have under that is this idea of engaging with others to help you find it. So your comment about mentorship, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think whether you have that at work or you have to seek that from someone outside of work, I think that that's a like key ingredient to helping you find the purpose in the work that you do. Having someone to talk to, having someone to coach you through things, lead you, help you answer questions that you have, mm-hmm. you know, and hope, you know, the ideal scenario is that you have leadership in the role that you're in right now, someone to help guide you there, push you forward and realize some of these things that we're talking about, and that we've got the benefit of years of experience to know when we've had it ourselves or when we haven't, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other note that I made from way at the beginning of the episode was inspired by something that you said about like getting to this understanding of purpose in the work that you do sooner is good for so many reasons. And one of those reasons could maybe be perceived as a negative, especially depending on like whose eyes you're seeing it through. But I imagine that someone understanding, having this understanding sooner might mean a higher pace of change, which could mean like a change in the organization that they're with currently, you know, promotion or development of the current role that they're in, which for a leader could create challenges, right? Like, oh, this person, you know, they're getting it. They understand why we're here, why we're doing what we're doing, why they're doing what they're doing. And that means that they are up for a promotion sooner because we can see that in them, mm-hmm. you know, and okay, now I got to backfill that position, you know, so like it can create a headache for someone, but at the end of the day, like someone's growing, someone's moving forward in a way that's rooted in purpose. So like that's a good thing at the end of the day. It's a good thing, even though it might cause some people pain. And maybe even that person that we're talking about that understands their purpose sooner, you know, like making changes like that in your life aren't always easy,
mm-hmm.
Can actually be kind of painful, especially if it's like, you know, organization to organization, you know, anytime you're changing a job, that's a big life moment, you know? So while I still generally believe this is positive movement, you know, and that higher pace is a positive thing, both for that person and the opportunities that can come for other people because of these changes. It's maybe not comfortable all the mm-hmm. time. The end.
The end. Period. End of sentence. Yeah. And I would guess, you know, both of the things you pointed out, I would guess that there's a certain type of leader who would stall that kind of growth
mm-hmm.
in order yeah. to keep, you know, in order to not create the situation where you have to backfill or,
yeah.
And I think too, as a leader, there can be there can be a lot of fear in watching people if you see a tremendous amount of potential in someone. And, you know, and honestly, listen, I want to be really empathetic to you at this moment and say, you know, if you see someone who is just beyond amazing, it can be really intimidating to have them as a direct report. And so I understand that why you cry in your office every afternoon.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's like probably the pressure of working with me is
exactly.
too much.
You're just so amazing. Exactly. Finally. Feels so good to finally say that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad we got that out on the table. No, but in all seriousness, yeah. there probably are leaders that, I mean, everybody struggles with self-doubt.
Yeah.
That if you see somebody maybe younger, maybe not,
yeah.
but just somebody who's hungrier and you decide that they are smarter, more capable, whatever, mm. you know, someone in a vulnerable position might decide, maybe I just won't give them that opportunity.
Yeah.
Because I don't want them to, I don't want them to exceed me.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, you know, at on the surface of this hypothetical we're talking about, super selfish and unfortunate. And I get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it also might not be something so nasty like selfishness and stuff. It could just be, well, I suppose this is selfish too. Like I just can't handle a change right now, you know, and let's right. like, let's be empathetic of those folks that might have some control over these kind of scenarios. They might be dealing with budget constraints, pressure from their leaders, something at home, you know, like mm-hmm. if they just experienced something heavy at home that created a big change in their life. You know, unfortunately, this might come at the expense of someone who's ready to advance or take the next step in their career. But, you know, they could just be feeling like, I can't take another change right now.
Right.
You know, so like, let's rein this person back in. Or, you know, I don't know how often people actually have that clear of thought, like, let's intentionally hold this person back from advancing. But, you know, maybe subconsciously these things are happening because of heavy stuff that's happening inside or outside of work, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not to say it makes it all right, but I think we can empathize, you know, and I think that's important.
Yeah. I would imagine, you know, there's that scenario too where there isn't a place for that person to go.
Yeah. Right.
There's no promotion, yeah. you know, possible.
Yeah.
And either you find a way to sort of put them, this is not a great way to describe it. Sort of put them back in their place, get them back
right.
in a lane that is comfortable for you.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they'll quit.
Right. Yeah.
So you sort of, you know, you withdraw opportunities or create, I don't know, create doubt in them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like thinking about this person, whoever this imaginary person is.
Well, yeah. I mean, and we're dipping our toes into company culture and some other things mm-hmm. right now for sure. But I think maybe to end this part of the conversation on a more positive, sunny note, and maybe to give some hope and inspiration to folks, whether that's leaders or people that might be in the scenario. I think this is why it's so important to take the time for things like visioning and, you know, thinking into the future so that especially, and this is just like the curse of a small team. Like sometimes there isn't somewhere to go,
right?
But you have to think of the future and, hey, you know, what opportunities are going to come? What additional structure are we trying to build? Where are we trying to grow? And hopefully you can do all that in a way where people can see themselves or they can see what they're working towards, you know, even if that mm-hmm. opportunity isn't there right now.
So. Right. Well, and we've certainly experienced this and I think it's, I really do think it's not even a small team thing. It, you know, when you, it is not very often that you would be on such a trajectory for growth that you hire a bunch of people that you don't need.
Yeah. Right.
So it is almost in every situation, you are extending your team beyond what they could, should do.
Right.
And then, you know, the next step is adding someone to the team.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of opportunities there to expand as you grow
yeah.
and challenge people. And I think then, again, back to talking about culture, then it becomes how do we how is that sustainable without burning people out?
Right. Yeah. In that you use the word extend. I think that that like extension of people and people's roles, you know, there's a sweet spot there for mm-hmm. sure to like push people, have them feel that growth and take next steps, learn new things, whatever. And then there's too much of that, right. which is burnout and, you know,
yeah.
people doing things that they shouldn't be doing, you know, because they haven't learned how to do it yet or whatever the case is. So,
yeah.
So I've got a couple more things. I feel like we've put the period on that sentence. Can I move
hope
us
so.
Along? Okay.
Yeah.
So a couple of other notes that I think I should at least put out into the conversation here so that we can maybe agree to like forget about it.
Forget about it.
Or maybe it becomes a part of finished content or something that we want to write about related to this category of like, how do you find it? How do you find purpose in the work that you do? And I've got notes like looking inward, right? Like mindfulness, being mindful, taking the time to look inward, taking the time to be mindful about the work that you're doing and seeking the purpose, mm-hmm. you know, because sometimes it's, well, almost always it's not going to be perfectly laid out for you. And you have to really like find it and understand it yourself. Really, even mm-hmm. if you've got strong leadership or a strong team or some of these other elements that might help get you there quicker. Like if you're not taking the time for self-evaluation and mindfulness, like you, I think it's safe to say you will never get there, mm-hmm. even if all those other things around you are pretty strong. I'm just going to keep rattling these off.
Okay.
Understanding your role. So like not making any assumptions about why you're doing what you're doing, which until you've worked somewhere long enough, until you've done what you've done for a long enough time to fully understand it, I think like some level of assumption is what you have to do when you first start, or assumption, or, you know, using your best understanding, but like constantly asking yourself these questions. And I suppose this is directly related to like the whole idea of looking inward or taking the time to be mindful. Like you have to constantly be trying to gain a better or deeper understanding of the work that you do and the purpose behind it. Like it never stops. I'm just gonna...
I'm with you.
Yeah,
no,
cool.
I'm 1,000% with you.
And nice segue into the idea of never stopping learning, you know, which I think really helps build a sense of fulfillment and purpose and preparation for the next thing, you know. If you fully understand why you're doing what you're doing, if you feel like you've got a role that's rooted in purpose and it's aligned with all of these other things that we've been talking about, continual learning will keep you challenging yourself mm-hmm. and bringing new things to the team, where if you're not challenging yourself, people are going to notice and they're going to say, hey, here's a thing that you should try. Like, I can see what you've been doing. You know, you've been putting a lot of time into professional development or whatever. You're ready to do something new now, you know, which, you know, brings some discomfort or mm-hmm. challenge to folks. But I think it's better when those opportunities come when you're feeling full of purpose. You're feeling like you're feeling and understanding the purpose of the work that you do. Kind of almost, it's kind of funny, again, just another thing that never stops. Like once you get to that point where you feel it and gain it, someone, whether that's yourself or a leader that sees it in you, is going to like challenge you to not be okay with it, you know, mm-hmm. and do something new, learn something new. So I just like see this flywheel in my brain. I just see like the three triangles or the three arrows like pointing at each other in a circle. It's just spinning always. Like it's just this never ending thing, you know,
mm-hmm.
in a really, really good way.
Right. And I think what I would add to that is not just challenging yourself to understand purpose, but challenging other people to discuss purpose. And I think that can be really, you know, some people are very open to talking about it and have thought about it. And well, and probably the flip side of that, the people who are not open to talking about it probably have not been introspective about what the purpose is behind mm-hmm. something in particular. And and just perhaps this is me using my own perception of conversations I've had with people. They don't really there are definitely people who maybe have made the decision before you were ever on the scene, right? This is why we do this thing. This is the purpose behind it. And then by the time you show up on that team, on that project, the answer to why are we doing it is, well, that's just what we do. That's how we've always done it, right?
Yeah.
So there's the challenge is to give grace, but to not accept that and to push everyone around you to say, well, okay, let's walk me through that. I don't understand the purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe if we talk through what that is, we can uncover something that will work.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we can look more at that process, whatever those things are.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I have encountered plenty of people who don't like, and I'm a why person. And I very often been in conversations with people who don't like to be asked why.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we doing it? Why do you want to do it that way?
Yeah.
Because it does require, it requires a step away from that, you know, cut and paste sort of attitude as well. We always do. These are the things we do when we do that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, I'm a big believer in examining things, you know, almost to the point of paralysis, but not quite to the point of paralysis, but in, you know, examining to make sure that we are doing the right thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Related to that, and something that came to my mind as you were speaking was this, just like the topic of fear related to, I suppose, everything that we're talking about today, but how does fear prevent us from taking the time to do the analysis?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, for some folks who maybe haven't done the introspective approach to, you know, self-analyze, consider their purpose and all of those things, how much of it is driven by like, I don't want to learn what I'm going to learn going there. I don't want to go down into that deep, dark hole, you know?
Right.
Like, what if I get to a point where I realize, shoot, man, like, I don't like my job or this company is, I don't know, corrupt or doing some kind of evil, like going worst case scenario here, you know, or whatever. And I suppose like fear is probably one of the contributing factors to people working at places like that, right? Like, ignorance is bliss. Like I'm just, I'm here, I'm doing this thing, getting paid. I'm not going to try and understand the purpose of it or how it aligns with me as a human, because I know that if I go there, I'm probably going to find something I don't like. And that means I'm going to have to look for a new job. And back again to this topic of change being difficult. And I don't even want to think about that. You know, that's how people get stuck in these cycles or in these jobs or, and I suppose if we're going really deep here, that's how those companies can exist and continue to thrive, because they're doing something for those people that makes them choose not to get to these, to this analysis and to these decisions. Right.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like we're dipping our toes into a whole nother episode to talk about.
we've gone like Law and Order SVU here.
Right.
On this whole thing. But you know, if we take it back up a level, and out of organized crime, you know, there are things that, a whole like years of a process are predicated on bad information. And to your point about people not liking change, change being hard and causing fear. As soon as you are the person who pushes the boundaries of what we know, what we believe, why we're doing something, it's a huge reputation risk.
Yeah.
You become known as the troublemaker, the turdster.
Squeaky wheel, whatever.
The squeaky wheel.
Yep.
And that it becomes about how do you sleep at night? If you can sleep at night knowing that people perceive you that way, which it's important to point out to you that I can, then fine. If you, or if you couldn't sleep at night knowing that you never asked how the sausage was made, then that's part of that introspection I think you have to do to make that decision for yourself. Believe me, I know you know how I feel about this. I do feel that we need to understand things in order to be able to do our best work. And if anyone is creating barriers to understanding or hiding things, any of that kind of toxic behavior, I would rather that person thinks I'm a troublemaker than not even organized crime, but just a crappy process predicated on a piece of software that we haven't used for 10 years.
Yeah.
Why would we let that keep us from being successful?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Or keep you from hating your job or part of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, wow.
Okay.
Okay. So we're still sort of apples to oranging things here. Actually, we are in pretty good alignment. Again, I've just gone more granular.
Yeah.
Because in this area of how do you find it, I suggested a couple of things like the five whys exercise.
Yeah.
Doing a fishbone diagram is another exercise that I would suggest to people.
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking about why is this specific thing happening, and to try and look at all of the contributing factors. We talked a lot today about contributing factors.
Yeah.
And so it's clear to me that we both think that's important.
Mm-hmm.
It's just for the purpose of this conversation, it's just like I'm way down in the weeds.
Yeah.
And you are a little more
level up. Yeah.
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 You might be on like a tree branch.
Right. Yeah.
Looking at me down in the weeds. Mm. Okay. Going, what the hell is she doing down there?
She needs to come up for some air. Yeah. Yeah. So I agree. And I think it's really totally okay for us to be where we're at right now. I think even once we hit stop here, it's going to take a little bit of work for us to get, you know, even closer,
mm-hmm.
more shared understanding or whatever, but that's it. And both of the spots that we're at are super valuable, you know, like mm-hmm. I think one can't exist without the other almost, you know, like if you don't have that higher level of understanding of purpose, it's going to be really tough to get down to that granular purpose of why am I creating this ad?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and same thing back the other way. Like if you can't fully understand and appreciate the purpose of that granular stuff, it's really tough to understand the bigger picture and see your spot in it and everything. So, I don't think I'm just like justifying the apples to orange experience that we have right now. Like, I really think like it's a genuinely safe and okay spot for us to be. To your point, very early on in the recording, like we will need to come even closer together so that we can put it into words and actually write a thing, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm glad I'm really glad that we spent the time talking about it today because I think we'll get there faster.
Right. Yeah. I think at this point, what we need is to figure out where it all sits, where it all lives, and how we transition it through.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we talked in our very first episode about beginning with the end in mind.
Yeah.
And we know that this is like some part of this is the end mm-hmm. of our book.
Yeah, right.
So yeah. figuring out, I also think that this might be a copy and paste conversation for the other two sections to figure out how does this flow so that it makes sense to people as they read it, and how do we move people through in a process that they can use, that is going to help them mm-hmm. rather than just big ideas.
Yeah.
About three big topics and
yeah.
like a thumbs up at the end.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Go get him. Yeah.
Go get him, champ.
Well, yeah. You've already kind of started to tiptoe into what's next.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I did it on purpose.
Well done.
How about it?
So we need to pick a direction, or I feel like we've already kind of started that. We just maybe need to sharpen that, mm-hmm. find that compromise. Or maybe it's not even a compromise. I feel like we've talked about it enough now. And I think the last thing that you just said is like exactly what I needed to hear to be a bit more comfortable with diving into the granular on this mm-hmm. topic. Because I do think that something that's been really important to me as I've thought about this book is people leaving it with stuff that mm-hmm. they can do, you know? And I think some of the most valuable stuff might be like, how do I think of the task that I do every day and find the purpose in that. And then, you know, I guess it's just another way to prove that, like, this concept of beginning with the end in mind. Once I can get there, then I can kind of start to take those levels up and see how I fit into mm-hmm. personal purpose and the organization's purpose and all those things. So,
yeah.
Yeah. We need to be more mindful to check in with each other. So that we're on the same page, which I think overall we've done pretty well. This is definitely a topic that, you know, until we got to this point of sharing where we were at on it, we didn't mm-hmm. quite realize how far off we were. Everything else maybe just came a bit more naturally, or we were just more aligned on. But
yeah, well, and the year has gotten busier.
Yeah, that too, for sure.
And so I think the more time, we are working asynchronously, the more likely this is to happen.
Right. Yeah.
So, as long as we can come together and make it into something,
mm-hmm.
Rather than, you know, and this is one of the things I really respect about you is
the one thing.
It's the only thing
that I could really find.
But I'm contractually obligated to tell you.
And I wanted to get it on recording.
No, one of the things I respect about you is your ability to look for a win-win on things. And that it doesn't have to be my thing over your thing or your thing over my thing.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
I hope that it's not some deep down sinister thing that I'm unaware of where I just never let anyone fully win. And it's me being like, yeah, can I win a little bit too?
And then
we'll call it
thing?
A win-win and everything will be
Everybody
fine.
Wins? I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so.
So I appreciate what you're saying.
Yeah.
And then we need to write a bunch, yeah?
Yeah.
So let's do that.
Oh, sure do.
Cool.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Awesome. Well, listener, I'll tell you honestly, I didn't know how long we would end up with this episode. I thought worst case scenario would be like, oh, that's what you wanted? Yeah, let's do that thing. And then it would be like a 10-minute episode.
See you later.
Okay, bye. but we are so excited to have you on this journey with us. Our team is so excited that they aren't the only ones who have to listen to conversations like this.
Yeah.
So you've shared that burden with them. But seriously, you can always learn more about us at our website, exclamationcuso.com. You can follow this journey on our blog, exclamationcuso.com/blog, or you can follow our podcast anywhere that you enjoy listening to podcasts.
That's right. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Be awesome, and we will see you next time.
The Awesomeology Podcast is a production of Exclamation Services. Thanks to Nick Mulliver for sound production and Kylie Ganther for our cover artwork.
Executive producers are me, Ben Bauer, and my friend, Suzanne Campbell.